It's good to see all of you here this morning. I know we've got a few that are poorly sick, but you're here and that's great. The Holy Spirit's here and the Lord's here. He's got something to say to us through what we sing and how we pray and all that we do. And we're so good to have you. And those that might be in the parking lot or listening later on the website, we also welcome you into the service. Can I brag on you a little bit? Be all right if I brag on you a little bit. I know for some of you that doesn't happen real often. You just don't have the people in your life that will brag on you. But when I saw how much you've given for the disaster relief, I just... You're doing good, and even more was given this morning. And my mind went back when I looked at the total that was Brenda sent me from last week. How many times you've done this in the last few years? When Kennedy Home, which is a part of the Baptist Children's Home down in eastern North Carolina, flooded, you gave a super offering. Whenever the Children's Home sent a letter and said they needed money, especially for shoes for kids before school started, you did a super offering. One year, it was a super offering for the West Stanley Christian Ministries for the Christmas toys. When my wife asked for pajamas and gowns for the residents at a rest home, nursing home in Mount Pleasant, you gave enough for everybody in the home to have something new to wear. First time we took up the offering for the Appalachian Backpack Ministry, you did a great job with that. And just, you know, over the last years, y'all been just so great. Whenever we said, hey, there's somebody in need, and you said, okay, here it is. You know, Paul writes about one of his churches and says, they gave what they were able and beyond. And that's the way it's been with you. You've given what you're able and even beyond. And I appreciate it. And just remember what the Lord said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving those who are hurting. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, thank you so much for your blessings to us. Thank you that you care about us, that you love us, that you meet our needs. Thank you that you sent Jesus. Oh, Father, we wouldn't be able to be anything and anywhere without Jesus. Thank you, Father, that at some point in our life, the Holy Spirit drew us to Jesus and we became believers. Thank you, Father, for the home in heaven that is promised to us because of our relationship with Jesus. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that guides and directs and comforts, teaches us. Thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters in the Lord who love you and love one another. Thank you for folks with caring hearts, loving hearts, generous hearts. And Lord, just thank you for yourself. We worship you, we honor you, we praise you. There is none other like our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, and good morning. Good morning to see you, everybody, this morning. Also, we welcome our visitors. If you're here this morning, you are indeed our special guest, and we welcome you this morning. As we begin each Sunday morning for worship, we always like to do a hymn sing. And so this morning, we're going to sing the first hymn in the hymnal, page 2, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's all stand and sing together. We're going to sing all four verses of it. It's on the board there. Sing Holy, Holy, Holy. standing for prayer, please. No, it happens in the best of families. It's not. I was just struggling to try to find the right line, and so we're all singing the same, different line. But you know that things like that happen. You know, I guess the only thing would prevent that just get the songbook out again. But we don't like that. We like to be able to stand up. I do what. I always say it's real simple. If it was easy, anybody could do it. And so that's the fact. So we thank you guys for what you do up there, and we know things happen electronically out of our control. So we thank you for what you do. That's for sure. Want to share some announcements with you this morning, if I may. And this Sunday night, Sunday evening, we'll have a busy schedule. The youth will be meeting tonight from 5 to 7, and then the discipleship training will be from 5:30 to 6:30. That's this today, so be in your place, please, for that. Then Wednesday night, we continue on. We'll continue on Wednesday night with our Bible study, continuing on the book of Job, and also we'll have choir practice again. That'll be at 7:30. All right, so that's for Wednesday night. We need choir members here, by the way. Well, while I'm into that, we definitely need some more people to come and be part of the choir. So please think about that, pray about it, and come and be with us. Okay. Pastor Appreciation Month. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. If you hadn't shook his hand and told him you appreciated, do that. But we'll also be asking you to, we'll also take an offering for Brother Ed next Sunday, be the 27th. So be prepared for that. NC Home Missions and Hurricane Helene Relief, and the pastor's already touch base on that, what you all have done on that, and it is amazing. We thank you that for what you've done. Well, you can continue to give, though, because there's still a great need there. I was talking to Bobby and Janice this morning, and there's still a great need there in that area. So continue on, if you would, please. Disaster relief. All right, we've talked about adult choir practice. So new Wi-Fi, if you need to that, we got that done. And the Deacon Family Ministry, if you don't have your Deacon Family Ministry, you need to get it. And it looks like this. It's this color. So be sure if you don't have one, get it, and because it'll tell you who your deacon is, and you'll know before the month is over anyway, because your deacon will give you a call, and that's a fact. Okay, quarterly conference will be today. At the end of the service today, we'll have our quarterly conference. Are there any announcements? I know Brother Jeff has, we've got a Boston butt sale, and I didn't know where you wanted to speak to that, but a Boston butt sale will be coming up November the 23rd, and from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and it'll just be Boston butts only. We're not going to have chopped barbecue and the whole thing like we used to do. This Boston butts. Brother Jeff, if you want to say a few words at this point.
Yes, now, we're trying to replenish our money. We got Christmas coming up. I'm sure there's going to be needs. So.
I got to have a present.
We want to be able to address those.
Okay, so you all don't forget that. If you're a part of these Baptist men or building grounds, come down front before you go that way. All right. Are there any other announcements I may have overlooked? Tonda. All handmade by her, no doubt.
Most of, just collections of bookmarks. But please enjoy any of those things that might work for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tonda. And what a wonderful, wonderful lady she was. And we all have fond memories of her and Brother Artis. And yes, go back there and share the memories and share the books. You do that. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Are there others this morning? All right, we'll go to our prayer request, and I've got four prayer requests already, and it's unusual that this would happen, but I got four prayer requests, and all four of them has to do with people falling. So all this tells me to tell you is be careful, watch your steps. So the first four I'm going to ask us to remember in prayer, Ted Barbie, and by the way, he's at the Jesse Helms Center in Monroe, and I understand he is able to walk, McCord, some just a little bit.
Very little.
Yeah, just a little bit. But anyway, he is coming along, progressing, so do that. I don't believe he has a phone in the room, so you have to contact through some other way. It's maybe a cell phone or something. Anyway, we'll call McCord.
They take in his voicemails and Bonnie's taking them to
him. Okay. He's learning everybody where they are. Yeah. And he's also telling them who their uncles are that they didn't know. Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. Do that. Just leave us a message and we'll do that. So Ted Barbie is the first one. Sharon Drake, who is a high school classmate of mine, she fell at West Stanley Friday night and very, very serious, as a matter of fact, I understand. I know last night we had our 60th reunion, and Sharon was missing, and I asked, and they told me then about it, and I think so she's not doing well at all. So let's remember her. Then Donna, my wife, she fell, and she's doing some better, but still in a lot of pain. And Carol, I don't want to forget you. And you fell, but you're still in pain. So all four people have fallen. So as I said, be careful. Now, are there those others that I need to add this morning?
I have one. Our nephew, Tony Dennis.
Dennis?
I had him on the prayer list about a month ago. He had broken his back from a fall at work. Got better.
So another fall here?
No, actually somebody dropped a steel beam on. It's in construction. So he's now broken his ankle, and he's waiting on surgery. Young man. So please pray for him.
Okay. Okay. Dennis, broken bones. Okay. Are there others? All right, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for a special time. We can come together now, Lord, and worship your name. We're thankful for those who prioritized their time this morning and said, yes, we're going to the house of the Lord. And yes, we're going to worship his name. And I thank you for that, Lord, this morning. And we ask a blessing upon them. Bless us all, Lord, as we are here together, gathered together to worship you. And then, Lord, we don't want to forget those that are hurting, those that do need your touch, need a healing. And we lift them up to you this morning. We pray for Ted Barbie as he continues to convalesce from the break. And, Lord, we ask a special blessing for Sharon Drake this morning as she has fallen. Continue to pray, lift up Donna for you as she's continuing pain. And we pray for Carol, Lord, as she's convalescing and she's still having some discomfort and pain. We pray for her. And then Dennis, who has broken bones, we lift him up to you as well. And Lord, we don't want to forget, Lord, our pastor this morning as we continue on in our service this morning. And we're so thankful for him. We ask a special blessing upon him as he comes before us. And now, Lord, we ask that you would lead, guide, and direct us as we go forward. But before I close this prayer, I don't want to forget those many, many people who are still hurting in the mountains. And there's still people missing, Lord, up there. And people, families, they cannot have closure as to what's happened to family members. Lord, we pray, Lord, for that situation. Lord, only you can calm the fears, and only you can help them in a time like this. And Lord, we pray for your blessings there. And then, Lord, these many blessings I do pray in your sweet and holy name. Amen. Got a song this morning in our praise music this morning. It's one that we have not sang in a long, long time. But it's got beautiful, beautiful words to it. And as we sing it, I want you to think about how the Holy Spirit is in our bodies and how it breathes on us and literally leads us to do the right way. The song simply says, "Breathe on me." Let's all stand and sing together, "Breathe on me."
Holy Spirit. till I am all thine own, until my will is lost in thine, to live for thee alone. Sing. Breathe on me, breathe on me. Said, amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
I pray that you didn't just sing those words, but that you prayed that.
Amen.
Because if you ask the Holy Spirit to come in, He'll cleanse you. He'll impart power to you. He'll draw you closer to the Lord. The Lord promised, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, He did. And those guys were never, and ladies, were never the same. I just got to tell this. I never thought about it before, and I heard somebody else say it. Do you know the Virgin Mary was Pentecostal? She was in the upper room. She was in the upper room when the power of God fell. So I don't know who I heard say that. I never thought about it till about, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I heard some other preacher say that, and I thought, yeah, yeah, I'm all in favor of it. This morning, I want us to look at some scriptures. They're in the Old Testament. I may quote a New Testament scripture or two, but they're in the Old Testament. And the first thing is a truth that mankind finds hard to believe. And then we're going to look at some promises of God. Do you ever hear anybody say, I owe all of my success to myself. I'm a self-made man. And you thought to yourself, and you didn't say it to their face, but you thought, and you sure messed it up. We as human beings have a tendency to want to do things our way. We want to feel like we are, as the poem long ago, master of our fate and captain of our soul. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden where man thought God, he had a better idea than God. Goes on to the Tower of Babel whenever man said, well, we're going to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. And today, if you talk to a lot of educators, and not all of them, but and social scientists, they'll start giving you reasons that if we just did this, our world would be perfect. Some of them say if we could just get everybody educated. If we could just get everybody educated. Not so. I love education. I appreciate everything I've ever learned, and I appreciate the teachers that taught me. But an education doesn't make you godly. You know, say, if we could just get everybody out of poverty, If we could just get everybody to have enough. Do you know poverty is relative? I remember one of the mission trips I made to Honduras. And we got out and walked around in some mountainous areas and then handed out bags of food. If I remember correctly, there was 5 pounds of pinto beans, 5 pounds of rice, and 5 pounds of cornmeal. And we went to some shacks that it's almost like a picket fence. I mean, you know, be a slant here and a slant there, but you could stuck your hand in between. And that's the way all the way it was around, and then maybe a little decent little roof over it. And they weren't any bigger, most of them, than the back wings back there behind Gary. But we gave them those beans and rice and cornmeal. We gave those folks enough to feed them for weeks. And they were suddenly rich. Now, if you could get in one of these gated communities where houses go for $1 million or more, and you rung the doorbell and you said, "I got some rice and beans and cornmeal," they'd look at you like, "Have you lost your mind? What are you doing in my neighborhood giving away rice and beans and cornmeal?" You see, it's relative. And just making people, I'm all for feeding people, I'm all for making sure they have enough, but that doesn't give you a clean heart. That doesn't make you an understanding, loving person. In the book of Jeremiah, turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 23 just to start with. And then we're going to look at some others. Jeremiah 10:23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Notice he's saying, listen, no individual is smart enough to plan his own life. No individual is smart enough to know everything he knows or she knows and needs to do. We're just not that. You see, one thing, we have a sin nature. And that just sort of messes up a lot of the decisions that we make. Another thing is, we don't know the future. We don't know the future. How many of you would like to get up and predict with accuracy what's going to happen tomorrow? Not a one of us. I mean, we assume it's going to be about like usual and get up and some will go to work, some will go to school and other things we'll do, but who knows? You think about the wars that are going on. All of a sudden, Israel gets attacked. They didn't know it was coming. Ukraine gets attacked, and they didn't know it was coming. Hurricanes hit, and they're predicted they're on their way, but nobody knew how totally devastating they were going to be. We can't plan the future. Totally, because we don't know it. We can make plans. The Bible says we can make plans, but God is the ultimate decision. In the book of James, he talks about the fact that mankind sometimes brags, "Well, I'm going over to such and such a city, and I'm going to stay there so long, and I'm going to make money, and then I'll come back." And then James goes on to say, "Man, life's just a vapor. Who knows whether you're going to get there or not? Whether you're going to make any money or not? Only the Lord knows." Jeremiah says, listen, No individual is able to plan his own life using his mind, his emotions, his education. But here's where the good promises come in. Look at Proverbs. We'll start with Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. And then we're going to look at two passages in Psalms. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says this, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In other words, the writer of Proverbs says, listen, you acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct your paths. Then go to Psalm 119. Verse 133, Psalm 119, verse 133. And the psalmist says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." He's praying. He says, "Lord, you direct my steps, and don't allow sin, don't allow evil to overpower me." One more, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man, a godly man, a God pursuing, one translation, the steps of a God pursuing man. Now, what are all three of these different verses saying? If you want to have a blessed life, if you want your life to go reasonably well, put the Lord first. Let him be the Lord of your life. Look to him for direction and guidance and leadership. Don't make any decisions without consulting the Lord. I mean, after all, God knows it all. He knows past, present, and future. I think about wagon train days. No sensible group started out without a guide. A guide who knew where the water was. A guide who knew where the hostile Native Americans were. A guide who knew where the safe places to cross the rivers were. A guide who knew where the easier climbs over the mountain were. A guide who knew where there'd be grass for the animals. A guide who knew when to leave so that they'd get there before the winter. Nobody started out without a good guide. It just didn't make sense. And most of us have had guides in one way or other. I remember when my son-in-law and daughter gave us our first computer. You know, the big monitor and the big old tower and everything. And they had to show me how to, they gave it to me, it was in Oklahoma. And they showed me how to plug it all up and how to do a few things and unplugged everything and brought it back to North Carolina. And now, wait a minute, this goes where? You know, we had to learn. And we learned by somebody teaching us. And you see, God knows it all. God knows past, present, and future. And God will direct our paths if we let him. And he will direct our paths in every area. As a young person, what classes to take? Whether I go to a trade school, a community college, or whether I go straight to work, whether I go to a college. Where do I go? Who do I date? Who will I marry? Where will I take a job? Where, what community will I live? All kinds of decisions that we make. And the Lord wants us to know those. He wants the best for us. He wants to order our steps. And so if we are pursuing Him, if we are seeking Him, then He is going to direct our paths. But you see, that's where self conflicts with following the Lord. I remember how many little kids, "Mama, I'll do it myself." Did your kids ever do that? Mine did. And so that's why they came out with their winter coat on in July and a pair of shorts on in January. And the shorts were on backwards. You know? It's just amazing. I'm going to do it myself. And yet if we follow the Lord and allow Him to direct our paths, everything becomes different. Now, the Lord won't always direct us in comfortable ways. Don't get the idea that, well, if I always are willing to submit to the Lord, I'll never have a problem or a difficult situation. One day Moses is out just looking after the sheep like he's done for days and days and days, and he sees a burning bush and he goes over there while it's not consumed. And the Lord says, "Moses, got a job for you." "Oh, well, what's that, Lord?" "Won't you go back to Egypt and lead the people free?" Now, let's put it in terms that you'll understand. "Lord, don't you know that in the sheriff's office over in Egypt, my name is on a wanted poster for murder, 20,000 shekels reward for my arrest?" It wasn't comfortable, but it was the will of God. And when Moses followed the will of God, Israel became free. You think about over in the New Testament, where a very committed disciple named Ananias, he gets up one morning, "Lord, good morning, Lord." "Okay, Ananias, I've got a little job for you today." "Okay, Lord, tell me what it is. I can't wait." "I want you to go down to a certain street, to a certain house, and you're going to see a guy named Saul. And I want you to anoint him or lay hands on him that he'll receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." "Now, whoa. Say that again, Lord." "I want you to go down to a certain street. I want you to go to a certain house. I want you to find a guy named Saul. I want you to lay hands on him that he'll receive his sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit." "But Lord, aren't you aware that he's been arresting and killing Christians?" It wasn't comfortable, but Ananias went. And I don't know how well communications flowed in those days in the next 30 years, but if Ananias lived, wonder how many times, and he knew about all that Saul, who became Paul, did. How many times he said, "Thank you, Lord, that I obeyed. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. Thank you for blessing me with the opportunity to lay hands on somebody who became such a mighty missionary." Following the Lord's not always easy, but it's still better than not following the Lord. Still better than not following the Lord. And we can think about all the things that the choices we make, what we read, what we watch on TV, the movies we attend, the music we listen to, all of those things. Are they God-honoring? Are we following the Lord? You know, I turn on TV programs. I don't watch a lot. I got an antenna instead of a cable system, but I'm flipping through and it's just like, nope, you're not going to watch that. Nope, you're not going to watch that. Now, question is, are we willing to humble ourselves and seek the will of the Lord? Are we willing to humble ourselves and follow Him? You say, well, Pastor, what if I mess up? What if I mess up? What if I'm trying to follow the Lord and somehow or another I miss Him? Go back to Psalms 37 again. Let's look at the next verse. Verse 23 says, the steps of a good man, a God-pursuing man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And verse 24 is a beautiful promise. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You ever walk beside of somebody and they stumble and you reach out and grab them to keep them from falling? That's the picture. He says, you're trying to follow the Lord. The Lord's directing your path, and somehow or another you miss it. You stumble, but the Lord grabs you and he holds you up. What does the book of Romans say? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and they're called according to his purpose. How many times the Lord has taken things in my life that I thought, man, this is stupid, this is crazy, this is terrible. And sometimes it's because I messed up and other times it's because somebody messed up for me. But you look back 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years later and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes when you think you messed up, you've been a blessing to somebody else. Do you remember what I wrote in the newsletter right after my wife died? You know, Pam was only barely 15 when we started dating. And so ever so often, every so many months, her mom and daddy would break us up and say, you can't date Pam anymore, or you can't date Ed anymore till you date some other guys. Well, I hated it and she hated it, but hey, mom's the boss. And dad backed up mom. So Pam would date somebody else and I'd date somebody else. And about every 6 months, that would happen. Now later when I became the favorite son-in-law, we mentioned that to her and she said, I didn't do that. She conveniently forgot it. But if you remember what I wrote, on one of those occasions that Pam's mama had made us break up, I dated a girl. I drive by her house most of the time coming to church and back. She went to UNC Greensboro. And one day she says, how about bringing somebody for my roommate? I took my brother Jim, and he and Barbara have been married now 56 years. And every so often he says, I sure am glad Pam's mama broke y'all up. He said, I'd have never met Barbara if it hadn't been for Pam's mama breaking you up. And so he just grins. You know, several times a year he'll just come up and grin and say, I sure appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it at the time. I didn't want to break up with Pam. I didn't want her to break up with me. But it was a blessing to Jim and Barbara. And if there's any two people that ever, you know, belong together, that's two of them. You see, once we try to follow, it's in our heart to follow the Lord. God can take even difficult situations and make a blessing out of them. I encourage you. Let the guide inside, the Holy Spirit, direct your paths, and you will be blessed. It's so easy. It's so easy to say, I'll do it myself. I got this one. I've got this figured out. But nobody is able to live life like with the blessing that God wants to give us without putting Him first, making Him Lord. And when we make Jesus Lord and He directs our paths, we're blessed. We're blessed in the difficult decisions. We're blessed when things don't go according to the way we hope they're blessed. And we know that when we start to stumble, He's going to grab us and make a difference. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute? And just for a minute, as the music plays, if there's somebody that needs to come to Jesus as Lord and Savior, somebody that needs to walk the aisle and become a part of the church fellowship, somebody that needs to come to the altar and pray, I invite you to come. Maybe you need something, some particular area of your life. You need to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to do that on my own. Direct my steps in that particular area of my life. Just release it to Him right now, and He'll take over. And you'll be so glad you did.